الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وما آتاكم الرسول فخذوه وما نهاكم عنه فانتهوا، صدق الله العظيم. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. دروش بالله. صلى الله عليه وسلم. Honorable brothers in Islam, mothers and sisters listening at home, inshallah ta'ala, we continue from where we had left off. We touched on the subject of cleanliness, nazafat. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned that the keys of paradise are with salah. The keys of paradise are with salah. And the keys of salah are with purification, cleanliness, and hygiene. And therefore, what we understand is that nazafat, hygiene, cleanliness, paki, is an integral part in Islam. And as Muslims, we have to make sure that we maintain a very high level of purification at all times, and especially for the people of this ummah. As Muslims, we have to pray salah 5 times a day. And what is important is that when we pray 5 times a day, we have to be in that state of complete purification. Otherwise your salah is not valid. And so in the last session we talked about istibra. Now istibra means in the Islamic terminology to empty the urine passage, the urine passage from all impurities, and especially from drops of urine. And so that is istibra, and istibra is compulsory for the men folks. Very, very important. Otherwise your ibadat is not valid. And so istibra is very important for the men folks of this ummah. I won't repeat the method of istibra because we've touched on that, and this was also explained in the last session of Darsi Hadith. But however, scholars have mentioned, it would be good, it's a good practice, if a person allows 20 or 25 minutes for himself before every congregational prayers, so that if there's 20 to 25 minutes, he has enough time for istinja and istibra, and that he is all ready to come to the masjid and to be part of the congregation, and for him to read salah with comfort and ease. Now this is not farz or wajib, this is a good practice. The scholars have mentioned that if you know salah is at 8:15 Isha and there is hajat and you need to go to the toilet, possibly at 7:15, if your house is close by and you know you'll get there on time, mashallah. And if you need to go to the toilet, you can do your istibra and you can also do your istinja and then come to the masjid comfortably. Remember, istibra means to empty the urine, from the urine passage. From the urine passage, or even to empty any kind of impurity that is there. That is istibra. And this is something which is very, very important for the men folks. However, we should also understand that whilst doing istibra, we should not put a smile on the face of shaitan. We should not put a smile on the face of shaitan. You'll find at times a person becomes very suspicious minded when he does istibra. He becomes shakki, suspicious minded. And he finds himself to be in this helpless position that he feels that he is not pak, he is not clean, and therefore he is not content, not comfortable when he reads his salah. This is also purely from shaitan. So the ulama have clearly mentioned that the application of istibra is meant to be an ease for the people of this ummah, not something that will burden them. Not something that will burden them. So be very careful. That is why Hazrat Aqdas Maulana Masihullah Khan Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi used to say that the wasawis that we have, the satanic whisperings that enter the heart after istibra, is nothing but the plot from shaitan. It is engineered by the shaitan. Why? So that it would confuse an individual. It would actually stop him and sidetrack him from doing righteous deeds. Just to sidetrack him from doing righteous deeds. This is what shaitan does. And so we have to be very, very careful. So do your istibra and do your istinja, but don't go to the extreme level. In fact, Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali has mentioned this. It is also mentioned in Ahsanul Fatawa. And an example has been given. And they say that, for an example, if a person was to milk an animal, if you milk an animal, every time you milk an animal, there will always be milk that will come out from the udder. There will always be milk coming out. And similarly, what will happen is that if you take your istibra at an extreme level, you will always find wetness in the genital area. You will always find wetness in the genital area. And so what Hazrat Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayhi has said, that mashallah, when you are satisfied and comfortable and you feel that you have done everything to remove and to discharge urine drops, that is enough. And then use water and you are pak, you are clean. And don't allow the shaitan to make a mockery of yourself. So this is something which is very, very important that we need to understand. And how merciful is Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, my respected brothers, that Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, to make it easy, to release the tension. At times, even when an alim will say to a person that, look, you know, don't worry, I take the responsibility of what I am saying, even then he won't believe you. Because the shaitan has gripped him. And so Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in the hadith it is mentioned, Iza bala, when Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam would go for the call of nature, or if he would go to pass water, yatawazza'u, thereafter he would do wudu. Thereafter he would do wudu. Wayatanazzahu, and then what he would do, and this is for the ummah, he would sprinkle water towards the undercloth, towards the undercloth, towards the groin area. So he would just sprinkle water. It means that you wet your fingers, and when your fingers are wet, of course, there is water there. And then towards your groin area, after you've done wuzu, just sprinkle water like that, just this way. And this will rebuff the wasawis of the shaitan. Just sprinkle it in this manner. Bas, that is it. So thereafter, if the shaitan is messing around with you, and if you pray salah and if you feel that perhaps I'm wet, or perhaps there's something wrong, or perhaps there's a discharge of urine drops or whatever, quickly the mind should settle by thinking that no, possibly this is the water. This is the water that I had sprinkled. And so yatanazzah means this. And so this is again also a very good application and a good method for those who have become shakki mizaj. At times it becomes very, very difficult for people when they become very suspicious minded. Then alhamdulillah, to ease the tension, one can do this. So this is something very, very important. Now some people, subhanallah, wonder that there are so many rulings in Sharia with regards to cleanliness. The reason for that is Islam is a way of life and a very pure religion. It's a natural religion, subhanallah. And you will find that everything in Islam is attached to cleanliness. One other very important masla is the masala of standing up and urinating. Standing up and urinating. This again, unfortunately, what has happened is that this has slowly crept into the Muslim communities. Shockingly, you will even find some of the masajid that have the facility for people to stand up and urinate. Urinals are there, even in the masjid. Ajib. And so we have to be very, very careful, my respected brothers. This goes against the etiquettes of cleanliness. This goes against the etiquettes of cleanliness. And therefore, it is un-Islamic and unethical also. You are not clean. It's shocking. You'll find the youngsters, the youth, they want to put on their best clothes. And nowadays you'll find the men, they look into the mirror more than the women do. Men look in the mirror more than the women. How do I look? And then they have this gel and then they use the gel. They use the gel, spike it up a bit. And then the best perfumes, clean shaven, ajib. My hairstyle, my haircut, everything tipped up, everything I must look smart. So outwardly he wants to look smart. But when it comes to urinating, subhanallah, he'll stand up and urinate, not realizing that he has made himself impure physically and also spiritually. What are you going to do, istibra, standing up like that? Can you do istibra standing up? Smell your clothes thereafter. Smell your clothes thereafter. You'll see that even your underpants has been soiled and it smells. That is why Islam is a beautiful religion. It talks about circumcision, everything clean, subhanallah. Removing hair from your certain parts of the body. And that is another subject. But look at your clothes. Here you've put gel and here you're smelling. Here you want to look smart, here you're smelling. This is un-Islamic. And also at times, in fact now, what happens that it's become fashionable. You stand up and urinate. Oh, how are you, John? You okay? How's business? You're working hard? What time you're working till? And it's like a meeting room, you know, you stand up and you talk as if there's nothing wrong. MashaAllah, you know, 4 or 5 people standing up. And at times they've even exposed their private parts talking. Is this jaiz? Think about it, my respected brothers. Concealment, which is so important. Generally, your satr. For a man, the satr is from the navel to the kneecap. This has to be covered. From the navel to the kneecap. For the men folks. And for the woman, she is satr from top to bottom. That when she goes out, she should drape herself in a way that the clothes are loose. And so khair on this subject, that there's a possibility, there is no istibra. and there's a possibility of the urine splashing back onto you. There's a possibility that you expose your satr, your private parts, whilst you're talking. And then also it is against the etiquettes and the adab of istinja when you chit-chat, talk, laugh, mess around and urinate in that way. This is un-Islamic. And so we have to be very, very careful, my respected brothers and elders. As Muslims, alhamdulillah, we follow the teachings of the prophets. We follow the teachings of the prophets. And we follow the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Never mind what the world does. You'll find people doing all sorts of things nowadays. And so we have a model in front of us that is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an says about himself, he says, in the early days, what had happened is that Ra'ani an-Nabiyyu sallallahu alayhi wasallam wa ana abulu qa'iman. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam saw me that I was urinating in a standing posture, in a standing position, in the early days. And so Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam looked at Umar ibn al-Khattab and said to him, Umar, Ya Umar, fala tabul qa'iman. Oh, Umar, never stand up and urinate. Oh, Umar, never stand up and urinate. Thereafter, Hazrat Umar says, this was the last time. Never ever in my life have I stood up and to stand and urinate. Never. This was the only command that came from Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam to rebuke me, and I understood this mas'ala, this ruling properly. It settled in my heart. And so we have to be very, very careful. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, on one occasion when he wanted to pass urine, he was very meticulous in making sure that there is hijab, there is concealment when he went for the call of nature. So of course in Arabia at that time you didn't have an en-suite or toilets everywhere, public toilets. And so people had to actually walk out from Medina Munawwara. And so Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was out, and the only thing he had with him was a shield at that time, a shield. And so what he did is that he concealed himself with that shield, and then he sat down to pass urine. And so at a distance, of course, the mushrikeen could see Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, but Allah's Nabi was concealed. There was hijab and parda. And then thereafter they taunted Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And they said to him, look at this man Muhammad aliyazu billah, urinating like a woman. What did they say to him? Look at this man Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, urinating like a woman. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam got angry. And he said to them, Woe unto you. Don't you know of the people that came before you? Referring to the Banu Israel. And he said, don't you know the ruling of the Banu Israel? The Masail of Banu Israel were very strict. That if urine was to touch any part of their skin in their Sharia, they would have to clip off that part of the skin. This was the ruling in the Sharia of Musawi, Banu Israel. They would use miqraz. Miqraz means scissors. And they would have to clip off that skin. Clip off and cut that part of the skin. And they couldn't do it. And that is why Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that the people of Banu Israel were being punished in their graves. And here you are laughing at me. Don't you know what happened to the people that came before you? And so we have to be very, very careful. Of course, there is one hadith that is in the Sahih of Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayh, in which it is mentioned that Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam stood up and urinated. He stood up and urinated. Mufti Taqi Saab has given us an explanation that this was to teach the ummah and to explain to them. At that time, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam had pain in his knees. He had pain in his knees. And so this was one-off to explain to the ummah that at times, due to some circumstances, that you're not well, or you have a pain or an ache somewhere in the body, that it becomes difficult for you to sit down, then of course you can stand up and urinate. Or at times if you were to sit down and urinate or pass urine or go for the call of nature, and if there was a possibility that this would make you impure and you would become napak, and by standing up this would be of a more precautionary measure for you, then alhamdulillah, you can do that. So at times, one off, if you're in the hospital or you've had to go through an operation and for some reason you need to stand up and urinate, Shariat has given you that permission. But generally, the common practice of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam is to sit and urinate. That is why Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha would say, "Man haddathakum anna nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wasallam yabulu qa'iman fala tusaddiquhu." Anyone who would say to you that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam urinated in a standing up position, fala tusaddiquhu, don't believe them. This was not the sunnah, this was not the practice of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So at all times sits, and this is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. In fact, the mushrikeen were jealous of the people of Iman at that time. So they came to Hazrat Salman al-Farsi and they said to him that this Nabi of yours teaches you everything. Imagine, he has even taught you how to do istinja. So Hazrat Salman al-Farsi responded by saying, yes, he has explained to us how to do istinja, and he has told us that we must not face the Qibla. We must not face the Qibla, and we must not use less than 3 mudstones to do istinja. And that shut them up a bit. So that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam has explained everything to us. And so this issue, my respected brothers, wherever you are, don't stand up and urinate. Sit down and urinate and take time and use tissue paper. That is why the scholars have mentioned that in the masajid, tissue papers must also be provided. Tissue papers must also be provided. Of course, now a lot of you must be wondering, what about Masjid Umar? What about Masjid Umar? Arif bhai can answer you, I can answer you, a few people can answer you here, but let me finish off here. This is a recommendation that comes from the scholars, that obviously tissue is like water at times. It assists you. And so if there's tissue, alhamdulillah, it is very good in the toilets, so this should be provided. Now the only issue in some of the masajid we have is that, of course, we have madrasa and we have a lot of children that mess around. And what they do is that they block the entire toilet by throwing in one entire tissue roll. And so all of the toilets are blocked. And so you'll find that the toilets are out of use. And so this is the difficulty. But khair, this is a recommendation. The scholars have mentioned that the madaris and the madrasa should have toilet tissue papers. And if there is no tissue paper, then you know this is your local masjid, then bring your own tissue paper. Tissue papers only cost $3.99. Isn't it? $3.99, $4.99, $5.99. It depends what you want. Subhanallah. Depends what you want. But khair, bring your own tissue paper. And the scholars have even mentioned that the water that is in the toilet, that is impure. Before flushing and also after flushing. So the water that is inside, in the toilet bowl, that is also napak. Before flushing and also after flushing. So the ulama have mentioned that one should invest a lot of money in making sure that he has a Sharia compliant toilet in the house. And really, fuqaha have said that Muslim countries should actually design a toilet that is Sharia compliant. And this would be a means of great reward for people. Today we have in many parts of the world wuzu facility, a machine, you just stand there. In Malaysia, I believe that you stand and it'll wash your feet and wash your hands and everything can be done and your wuzu is done. So we have to be very careful. So the toilet that is in your property, you have to be careful. Sometimes, obviously, the water that is there in the toilet, there is a reason for that, so that there is no foul smell. That is why there is water. And of course, if you have the other toilets in which you have to sit in a squatting position, in which you have to sit in a squatting position, there you also have to be careful. At times, if the pan is not deep, then what happens, because it's ceramic, then as you urinate, you might not even notice, but the urine will splash back onto you, even in that squatting position. And so for conventional toilets or for any of the toilet, one should take time out and invest. Why? Because this is something that is needed for a believer to be at that level of hygiene, purity and paki. It is very, very important. And so what a person should generally do now is that he should take tissue paper and put it in the water. And so if he's going to do istinja, whatever he's going to do, then put tissue paper in the toilet and then do whatever you need to do. Whatever you need to do, but first put tissue paper and then do it. So that will avoid the urine from splashing. This is what the scholars have also mentioned. Now, another masla which is important is how do we do istinja? How do we do istinja? What is the method of istinja? First, my respected brothers, obviously when you go in the toilet, you put your left foot inside first. You put your left foot inside and what do you say? Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-khubusi wal-khabais. You say it outside. Before you go inside, say it, read the dua and then put your left foot inside and then enter the toilet. And when you enter the toilet, of course, if you've done peshab, the same procedure of istibra that has been explained. But if you've done after using the toilet, and so for an example, after najasat that you have done, after passing stool, for an example, what do you do? How do you clean yourself? The best method is that back in the days they would use mud stones. But you're not going to bring stones, are you? So now you have tissue paper. So use the tissue paper. And once you've used the tissue paper, then thereafter use water. Use water. But then you also have to use your hand to clean your back passage. To clean your back passage. And for that, the fuqaha have mentioned that you use your left hand. What is it? You use your left hand, not your right hand. Keep your right hand away. Use your left hand and you use the middle finger here. So you start off with your middle finger. This is the first finger. And then if need be, you can use this finger, the one that is close to the middle finger, not the index finger, this finger. And then if need be, then the little finger. So you can use one finger, you can use two fingers, or you can use three fingers. And this is explained by the fuqaha. And you use your fingers to clean the back passage. Obviously, you've used the tissue paper, and now you use water. And with water, you also use your fingers to clean your back passage thoroughly. And so you clean your back passage thoroughly. And once you feel that, alhamdulillah, I am clean, thereafter, your istinja is done. So this is the method of doing istinja, that you use your left hand and you use your three fingers. And so, alhamdulillah, as believers, we should not be shy. These are masail that we need to discuss. These are masail that we need to discuss. People may use today fork and knife to eat. They don't want to get their hands dirty. They don't want to get their hands dirty. But what do you do when you go to the toilet? Do you use fork and knife there? Why do you use fork and knife? I don't want my hands to get dirty, you see. So what do you do when you go to the toilet? Have you got fork and knife to clean something there? You don't. Whoever you are, that is why Allah has given you fingers by. That is why Allah has given you fingers and the appassable thumb. So that it is of your use. You can do whatever you want with it. And so alhamdulillah, cleaning your own body, that is very important. It is the sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And these are a few masail pertaining to istinja and istibra that have been explained. Inshallah, if Allah wills, we will continue with the other masail in the next session of Dars-e Hadith. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. اللهم تقبل منا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم نستغفرك ونتوب إليك نستغفرك ونتوب إليك سمعنا وأطعنا غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.